My friend got in trouble because I was riding with him without permission to do so. And that's not all. They had called my mother earlier that morning, and they told her what had happened. And of course, this was the day before cell phones. She had no way to get a hold of me. So she had worried all day long about me. So for me to say that the next few days were unpleasant would be an understatement. And I'm just telling you, but I learned an important lesson that I think is relevant for today's society. To make sure that you check with a higher authority about making decisions before doing things that you think is right in your own mind. You do realize you can rationalize anything to fit what we think is right. We can do that. To fit a certain narrative, we have a way of taking things and rationalizing it to fit the narrative that we want, that the narrative that we like to hear. As a nation, we live in an echo chamber of affirmation. Do you know that? We absolutely do. We live in an echo chamber. We have become very proficient in only wanting to listen to what we want to hear, what we want to listen to, what only makes us feel good about ourselves. But while we're listening to these voices, do we check with the higher authority? Do we do that? There's all kinds of voices out there telling us all kinds of things. But when it gets right down to it, do we listen to the higher authority to see if what we have attached ourselves to is right and is proper? Greg said this Wednesday night in his teaching, this scripture, which we hear quite often, and this scripture is very, very relevant for today, especially in the church. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Very prevalent, very, very worth marking in our Bibles, very worth taking a second look at. Because we need to be like Psalms 25, 4 and 5, it tells us, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You see, just because I thought it was all right to do what I did back then, and my friend affirmed it, I thought that's all that I needed. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I convinced myself it was all right. But I was absolutely wrong in what I did. I should have checked with mom, and I should have checked with the school, and I should have went through the proper channels and did the proper thing. That's why I would like to talk to you this morning about a topic that has come to the forefront here in the last few months in American society. That's why this morning I would like to talk to you about racism. I realize this topic can be a minefield. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. Whenever I thought about this, I prayed about it. I didn't come right out and do anything, but I prayed and I said, God, you show me what is right. You show me what I should say. That's why I don't stand here before you this preaching on this topic haphazardly. I would never do that. But with a whole lot of prayer, and with a whole lot of study. Those that have known me for a while, I do not back down from the hard subjects when it comes to preaching. I won't do that. But only if God directs me down that path will I do that. On May 25th of this year, something happened that was caught on camera that was so horrific that it shook the conscience of this nation. Anyone who watched it and was not appalled and was not sickened, but what they saw doesn't have a conscience. The arrest and the murder of George Floyd. And while America watched, I have no idea if the police officers were racist. I do not know. I don't know their hearts. But many in this nation believe that they were. You know what I believe? I believe there is an evilness that has permeated throughout society in this country and around the world, actually, that has allowed these kind of incidents to take place, is what I believe. Listen, As Christians, we shouldn't be surprised by what we saw. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, speaks of this. I'm going to read it to you. This is out of the NIV version of it. It says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Get this, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If you cannot see that going on today, I see it in every aspect of life, it seems like, whenever I look around. If you want to look for it, is there. This is what we're living in. As Christians, as we see the unfolding right before our eyes, as we see it, and how horrific it is, we should not be, absolutely, we should realize that the Bible has already predicted it, and that it's going to happen, and it will continue to happen. George Floyd's death brought forth to the forefront the subject of racism. Yes, it did. Well, here a while back, I was listening to some preachers talk, and they said that the preachers don't preach about it enough, and preachers don't do this, and preachers don't do that. And you know, it kind of hit me, and I said, have I never preached about it? Have I never talked about it? But have I never preached about it? And you know what? The Lord convicted me of it. I haven't really. So I am going to preach about it again this morning. And I believe the church, listen, and I believe the church, and I believe Christians should meet this subject head on. It should be not should be something that we just talk about and such. We should meet it head on. So let me be very clear to you this morning. I'm not here accusing any of you of being racist, because I don't believe that you are. But I also want to say something else. I also don't believe that there's systemic racism in this country. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's as prevalent as they want to tell you that it is, as some would lead you to believe. If you want a good YouTube video on it, go to Ben Shapiro and let him look and listen to what he says as he explains what they are teaching our children about it. But that's as far as I'm going to go. But I do believe that there are racists in this country. And I do believe that there are racists in a lot of institutions in our country. I do not believe all white people are racist. I do not believe that because of the color of your skin that you're automatically racist. I do not believe that. I do not believe that every police officer is racist. I do believe there are whites that are racist. There are blacks that are racist. There are Mexicans that are racist. There are Asians that are racist. There are Jews who are racist. There are Arabs who are racist. There are men who are racist. And there are women who are racist. But not everyone in every one of those groups is a racist. I hope we understand that. And to call everyone a racist just because of the color of their skin is wrong. To state otherwise is not dealing in facts but in conjecture. That's all that they're dealing in. And something else that I've come to realize during this whole time, and you probably have as well, everyone has an opinion when it comes to race and when it comes to racism. Everybody has an opinion. White folks have an opinion. Black folks have an opinion. Democrats have an opinion. Republicans have an opinion. CNN has an opinion. Fox News has an opinion. Protesters have an opinion. And looters have an opinion. I venture to say that everybody here this morning has an opinion about race and about racism. But here's the question to all of you and to everyone listening to me. Has any one of us checked with God about our opinions and held it up against the Word of God to whether or not our opinions hold up that way? Because that's what's important. Has any one of you, in all the cacophony of opinions that are out there, has anyone checked with God? Has anyone bothered to check with the higher authority? You see, as people of faith and as Christians, we don't take our cues from the world. We don't take our opinions from the world, from the news, and from we shouldn't be taking our opinions from those things. We don't take them from the news and from the newspapers. We don't take them from our family and from our friends. We take our clues as Christians from the Word of God, and that is the only place that we should be getting our opinions from. We pray, we study, and as we are bombarded with all these opinions, you know what we do with them? We take these opinions and we filter them through the Word of God is exactly what we do. Concerning race, when it comes to these subjects, the Bible is the only thing that we can trust. Now, the passages I'm going to read to you this morning, there is not only racism in there, there's racial tension in there. And there are five different groups that's going to be involved in this, and I want you to understand. We will read about the Jews, who at that time looked down upon anybody who wasn't of their faith. We read about the Gentiles, who believed that the Jews thought that they were superior to everyone else. And in the context of the Scripture, we're going to read some of them today. We're going to be talking about slaves. And we read about free men who were once slaves but bought their way out of slavery, but yet they had something against slaves. And we're going to read about women who in those days had no rights whatsoever. And guess what they did? And all five of these groups decided to follow Jesus Christ. You know where they showed up? They showed up at the local churches where they showed up. And somehow all these groups managed to come together through all their division. And you know what they did? They spread the gospel to the whole world. That's what they did. Through all this divisiveness, through all this racism, they come together. And I'm going to show you how they did it. There was division back then, just like there is today. There was racism back then, just like there still is today. In the scriptures I'm going to read, I'm going to show you how bad it was. Why do I read it? Because, listen, these scriptures not only show this stuff, but they also show how they overcome it. The thing I always say about the Bible never takes the warts out that leaves it in there. That's why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Acts 10, beginning with verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, stand up, I myself am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, now listen to this, ye know how it is unlawful for a thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You notice how Peter started the conversation? In verse 8 he said, ye know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. You think racial segregation is something that started in this nation? It is not. It started years ago. Now keep in mind, when you're reading this scripture, now I want you to, this is how amazed I was when I started digging into this. This is 15 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 15 years. Get that. Peter still does not like Gentiles. Still believes the Jews are racially superior. Yes, Peter believed God loved them, just not as much as he loved them, as Jews and him. We're talking about a man who the Catholics called their first pope. We're talking about a man who cathedrals are named after, who preached a sermon where 3,000 souls were saved, yet he still does not like Gentiles. But you look, this is what gives me hope for today and for what we're living in today. But he looked and he pivoted. Peter takes it and he says, look at this. This is one of the more profound statements that you're going to find in the Bible that shows how God dealt with Peter. Heart concerning prejudice. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You get that? But God had to show him. That's why I asked this morning of anybody who listened to this, have we checked with the higher authority? What Peter was saying was, before God showed me, I was comfortable calling you impure and unclean. That's what he was saying, but God showed him. You get that? Peter had been super religious, but Peter hadn't checked with God concerning his prejudice. But God showed him. You see, up until that point, Peter checked with everybody else, but the one that he should have checked with, and that is God Almighty. You see, 2,000 years ago, the solution for racism, bigotry, and all that kind of stuff was the local church and followers of Christ. Can I tell you this morning that the cure for it today is the local church and those following Jesus Christ, and listen to what He has to say about it. That's the cure for it. And it still holds true right today. The true church of Christ is the original melting pot. Absolutely. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. This is Jesus after His resurrection. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Listen to me. Jesus said to every creature. He meant every human being on the face of this planet is what He meant. Made no difference what color of their skin was. Made no difference what nation they were in. He's saying you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. You do realize that the church lost its way with that commission. The church was actually partnered in slavery, in bigotry, in the early part of this nation. How many of you ever heard of what they call the slave Bible? Has anybody ever heard of that? It was an edition of the Bible specifically for educating the slaves. In that Bible, you realize that they took out 90% of the Old Testament and 50% of the New Testament. That's what they give them. For comparison, in the King James Version of the Bible, there's 1,189 chapters. In the slave Bible, there was only 232 chapters. Guess what scriptures they removed? They removed the whole book of Exodus because Moses told Pharaoh to let his people go. They took out Galatians. Galatians 3:28 was gone. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. They took it out of there. There is no Jeremiah. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by the unrighteous, and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service with no wages, and giveth him not for his work. You see, they didn't want any uprisings. And the church helped the slave owners secure that. They made sure that Ephesians 6:5 was in there, though. You know what that was? Servants, be obedient unto your masters according to the flesh, in fear and trembling and in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. You see what I'm saying? The church lost its way for a while. That is wrong. Absolutely, that was wrong. Back in 1958, Billy Graham went in to do a crusade in New York City. The venue was packed. As Billy Graham looked upon the venue and looked out, all he seen was white people. That's all he seen. And he asked the organizer, he said, why is there no minorities here? Why is there no people? Why is there no blacks here? The organizers of the event looked at him and around and he said, look what you got. You got a white choir. You're a white man. You got white singers doing special singing. And from that point on, Billy Graham made a concerted effort to integrate the Crusades, even having a young black minister by the name of Martin Luther King come and help start up some of the Crusades. There were those who did not want him to do that. There were those who told him not to do that. But praise God, Billy Graham listened to the higher authority. And he went on and did it. How many of you here know Priscilla Schreier? I know a lot of you in here know her. You know her dad's name is Tony Evans, a black minister out of Houston, has a church of around 10,000 down there. Whenever he started to get into preaching, he couldn't get into any seminary schools because they were segregated. But a gentleman by the name of James Dotson, have you heard of him? Yeah. Wrote letters to all these seminaries and told them that they were wrong. And they finally let him in. James Dotson listened to a higher calling, to a higher power. And you know what Billy Graham, Adrian Rogers, and David Jeremiah have in common? A lot of you listen to them and have heard them. They all belong to the Southern Baptist Conference. That conference was formed and became known as the Church of the Southern Slave Owners. They were also complicit in the defense of slavery. They did not integrate seminary classrooms until 1951. The Southern Baptist Church finally apologized for its stance on slavery. Guess what year? 1995. And in 2017, they finally adopted a resolution condemning white supremacy. Listen, the Southern Baptist Conference finally listened to a higher authority. This is what I'm saying, why I'm talking to you this morning about racism, about racial injustice. Listen, in this country, we have got to listen to God. We cannot listen to what everybody else is trying to shove down our throats. That should give every one of us hope, though. We all must listen to a higher authority. In the first part of this chapter that I just read to you in Acts, God was preparing Peter's heart, is exactly what he was doing. God had to get all the prejudice out of him. Yes, the same Peter who received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the same Peter who had been preaching Jesus for 15 years, was harboring bigotry and racism in his heart. Can you imagine that? But he did. But God had to show him, and Peter listened, and praise God that he did. Because you know what? Praise his name. You know, we are Gentiles. Cornelius was a Gentile, a Roman soldier. Peter wanted nothing to do with him. Cornelius and all like him were beneath him. But God showed him that no race is better than any other race. But God had to get inside of his heart. And the only way to achieve unity in this nation, in this country, is for God to change hearts all the way around. That's the only way. God will have to change hearts. And God's the only one who can do that. It says this, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Praise the Lord. There was a profound change that took place after Peter did this. If you read through the rest of Acts, you can see it. Because everyone involved understood, and I hope we understand it here this morning, that there's something bigger than just being a Jew. There's something bigger than just being Gentile. There's something bigger than just being a man or a woman. There's something bigger than just being black or white. There's something bigger than just being a Republican or a Democrat. We are Christians, Christ-centered, Christ-like, born by the blood of Jesus. We are all one. You go back in Genesis, where it starts. We all came from one. Even after Noah, we came from one. Listen, back then, they understood that the moment that we should understand as a church today, that there is something bigger than all the hate and the finger pointing with all the opinions that are behind them. Have we checked with God on what we think and what we believe? You go over to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts now. You start in the 17th chapter. And we see Paul dealing with riots. We see Paul dealing with... They even go to a man's house and drag him out of his house. And they follow Paul from, I think it's from Thessalonica to Berea into Athens. They follow Paul trying to make things rough on him. But Paul says in Acts 17:26, listen to this, mark this. In 25 and 26, neither is worship with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We are all made from one blood. We are all made from one. That's what Paul's saying. We should not look on anybody as inferior or as beneath us. Praise His name this morning. Listen, if we do that, I'm here to tell you, there wouldn't be bigotry or racism. We wouldn't have to worry about it. Paul told them, this is not about us and them. This is about us and us. Praise His name this morning. That's what this is about. There's only us and us. Black, white, yellow, red, green from Mars. I don't care. We are all one. That's the way God has made us. Christ died to keep us that way. People lose their way. Yes, I said there are racists in this country. People lose their way. But praise God, Christians should not be racist and prejudiced. If we minded what God wants us to mind and did what God wants us to do and filtered everything through the Word of God, there would not be bigotry and racism within our communities. 1968, I was living in Cleveland, Ohio. You know what happened in April of 1968? Martin Luther King was shot and killed. There were riots. There was all kinds of things going on out there at the time. My mother would not let racism and bigotry raise in my heart whatsoever. She made sure that she told me that all people are equal in that aspect. My mother always did do that. She taught me from the time I was a kid. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God is telling us that there's no place in a Christian's heart for any kind of racism, bigotry, or anything like that. None whatsoever. I'm here this morning to tell you, I believe that God is talking to all of us in this day and age we live in, that we need to get that out of there. You know what? I'm done this morning. I'm going to have her play a song here in a minute. But while they're playing that song, let's bow our heads and pray while the song's playing.